So today we're catching up with Michael and Beth Vivio, who have some news to share. Welcome, folks.
Thank you so much. Great to see you.
Hi, Joe. Good morning.
Well, news to share. I said we've already done a piece on it, but you just sold corporate Fitnessworks. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It was a six-year adventure for us. Mm-hmm. After I left the corporate world and looked for opportunities, we searched all over, but we found a fantastic St. Pete-based company to buy, mm-hmm. Corporate Fitnessworks. Beth and I jumped in together. I handled kind of strategy and finance stuff, and Beth, you handled
people. People, business development. Yeah.
And 300 people in the end, so that's not a small number.
Yeah.
Well, so let's talk about that transition a little bit. Obviously, you know, you both were in leadership roles in your various organizations. So it's not that you hadn't led things, but now this is all you. You're a business owner, and you're working together in a major way for the first time. So, you know, how was that piece of the journey? You know, as far as, you know, being sole owner of something, working together, and being entrepreneurs in that sense.
Yeah, it definitely was a bit of a risk, the working together part, but it ended up being great. We bring completely different skill sets, and it was kind of like sharing a CEO role. Mm-hmm. It was nice because we each took different aspects of it, and it gave us a tremendous amount of flexibility, mm-hmm. which was really, so we were really fortunate in that regard. But being a business owner definitely was very different. Mm-hmm. And just a huge sense of responsibility, you know, for all the people that we employed. On the one hand, in many ways, it was great because, you know, we had such a great team. But I think it was also just a different kind of burden than other positions we've held.
I want to follow up on that answer, too. But from the business side of things, it really was a classic private equity deal. We purchased the company. We leveraged everything we had. To do it. We did not feel that was a risk because the company was stable, had a great client mix, had dozens and dozens of clients. So we didn't feel like there was a whole lot of risk in doing that, but we did. We leveraged everything. And then we put our expertise into refining the business, choosing a market. And in this case, it was narrowing down straight to the employer market, large employers. And focusing the brand, focusing the communication, focusing the sales strategy. And so all of those things were where our talents came to play. And then, of course, leading the team through all that. And that added value in the end. We had COVID provided an interesting little middle of the journey turn, but we're going, that's a whole separate question. But you know, to follow up on Beth's part about being a business owner as opposed to being an employee executive, you really get the consequences, and you get the fiduciary duty of the lives that people have entrusted to you by working for you. You know, so every big and consequential decision on whether to invest here or go this direction or that direction, or what's the health insurance policy going to be this year, mm-hmm. all those things have impact on the lives of the people that you manage. And for Beth and I, it was never about money extensively, right? We really had this try to keep a very holistic approach to our decisions.
Well, that's great. And I love to hear you talk about risk and the way you did. I mean, first, I love that you mentioned the complementary skills. I think that's really important in a partnership. And it's nice when you can do that because then, you know, you have your own lanes and you can help each other. But
your kids figured out many years ago.
Yeah. And you're both very thoughtful. So when, you know, when you say the words, I won't say conservative, but you put a lot of thinking into things. But, you know, for you to say we leveraged everything, but then you know, half sentence later said you didn't see it as a risk. I think that's a really unique and special skill for entrepreneurs, is to be able to really dissect risk and see that while it is, you know, on one hand leveraging everything, it is a really, really calculated risk that, you know, you're going to be okay with. So that's well done on that. Why now? Was it, was the journey at a complete place for you, or was it situational where you had this offer? Why did it happen now?
It was situational. We were, in our market position, we were the largest of the small players. So there was maybe three companies that were larger than us, much bigger ownership capital behind them. And there was us. And we were the scrappy little guy who kept beating them. And so we had many opportunities for private equity to buy us. And we had competitors reach out to us. And, you know, they could tell from our bio and our age that we were strategic investors. And they reached out to us. But when Health Fitness came forward, we recognized the cultural fit that we didn't see in the others. Mm-hmm. We recognized that the pendulum was swinging back for the business, meaning the return to office discussion that involved hybrid work for working situations and all of that, which was a fight for the last 2 or 3 years to find the right service offering for that work mix. Keep in mind, our clients are kind of Fortune 50 and a bigger size. You know, so those macro employer issues were something we battled against. But that pendulum was coming back. And so it was the right buyer. We looked forward, we looked at ourselves and said, well, is this the right time for us? And we said, well, we still love this, but that fiduciary thing comes into play, right?
Yeah, I want to jump in here. We just, you know, again, that responsibility to our employees, mm-hmm. wanting to make sure that we picked a buyer that would, one, employ our folks.
All of them,
but give them more opportunities. Because, you know, while there's advantages sometimes to being that small, scrappy company, like Michael described us, it was frustrating to us sometimes as owners not to be able to have more opportunities for people to move up. You know, there's just only so many positions for people to go into. And so, you know, a lot of our employees would work for us for a few years and then move on to another opportunity, which was fine. But we liked this buyer because they are bigger. So again, just more opportunities for folks and hopefully better, you know, they have deeper pockets. So, you know, hopefully better benefits, just all around better experience for people going forward, which was important to us.
The parent company of our buyer is a $1 billion mutual insurance company that's in the benefits space. And so, you know, the opportunities for our team go beyond the operating company in our space and also into the corporate parent and other opportunities they'll have there. So that really spoke to us. And so we decided that the time was right. And, you know, something to be said for getting out while you still regret getting out. I think that's kind of one you can tell it's the right time and not have to.
If you wouldn't mind going a little longer, then it's probably just the right time. You don't want to be there when you don't want to be there.
Right.
So it sounds like you're just building. You've built a lot of ladders, a lot of higher ladders for the team to climb now. And
that's a good way of saying that, Joe. That's a great analogy. I hadn't thought of that, but yeah.
So when you talk about culture and how important that fit was, Beth, talk about how you communicated with the team. You know, it's a big announcement to make. There's a lot of concerns. What were sort of some of the culture points that you accentuated to the team, and how did you walk through that with them?
Sure. Well, you know, with that many employees, we have different layers, you know, in terms of leadership employees versus our kind of boots on the ground, the folks that are staffing the fitness centers that we operated. So there were different periods of time where we brought people into the process. And, you know, really a lot of what we've talked about, I think one of the things that Michael and I have tried to do all along as owners of the company was to be transparent and, you know, keep them abreast of what's happening in the company. Why are we making certain decisions? So that kind of open lines of communication has always been important to us. So we just continued with that through this process. And we really brought our leadership team into the process. They were integral in helping us close the deal. And then as we communicated further into the company, it was just things like, you know, this is Health Fitness, owned by Trustmark. This is a company that values their employees. They have received lots of awards for being a good employer. You know, we know that they're going to continue to do a lot of the things that we did, 401k match, you know, just things, different benefits and things that were important to us. And, you know, that's what we just tried to say, is this is about, you know, finding another company that really operates in a similar way, you know, values employees first, and just hoping that that would be reassuring to all of them, because it is, it's a big change.
Yeah. And Michael, sort of same question for your customers, your clients, any real impacts? You know, like you said, you were the small scrappy startup, and a lot of times people making those buying decisions are attracted to that. And, you know, now you're moving into a bigger umbrella. How did those conversations go?
Well, most every contract we had a notice and approval process that we had to go through and notify them. It was certainly helpful that the contracts and the services were being handed off to a company that has a long, long history and track record in the industry. So, and it's also possible to say that your team is the team that you know.
Right.
Is staying on the ground. And so that certainly made it easier.
Yeah, that's cool.
But Beth and I, as owners, we let our team have those relationships. You know, we did obviously meet clients and know clients, but it was the executive team that did the work for this company. And they deserve all the credit for their relationships, and they deserve all the credit for the smooth transition from one owner to the next.
Right. And I'd love to, in the middle of this 6 years, was 2 to 3 years, with COVID, that the whole thing just changed, right? And you had to pivot, you went virtual. How scary was that from an owner's standpoint?
The question where I said, well, we leveraged it all and bet the farm.
Yeah,
well,
I was thinking about that too.
Because we had lots and lots of clients. Well, there was a day in March of 2020 where we had almost 100 fitness centers closed on the same day.
Right.
Yeah. And that was an oh my gosh moment, as you can imagine. Now, what we soon realized is that the need continued. And so as a company, we pivoted to providing our services online. And a few weeks after that call happened, we did a survey, and realizing we were running over 500 live Zoom classes a week to members across the country. So that was an indication that, hey, we need to invest in this. We need to double down. And my background in media meant that I knew that content's going to be king. And many of our competitors jumped to existing online providers of content and just signed up with them and were reselling somebody else's content. We instead took the long way. We built our own content, found our team leaders who liked to do that kind of work, trained them, and had our content match what our client needs. And that proved to be the difference maker. So we came out of COVID stronger because of that.
Yeah. And I would say with even deeper relationships with our clients, we had any number of amazing testimonials where people just really, their employees would report, you know, this is keeping me sane. these classes, these personal training sessions, these, you know, any number of things we were providing really helped, because, I mean, obviously, you know, people's mental health was critical during COVID.
And we did our classes live. We soon realized that the connection that happens when a class is live and when that group of people go through that thing together and, you know, they feel funny, they feel awkward and all that stuff. But at the end of the class, they've all had something that is social. And that was so much missing during COVID. And it really made a difference. And it made a difference to the business too, Joe, because before COVID, for a big client, we may have had a handful of gyms in their big corporate office buildings. I'm thinking of one financial services client I can't mention, but they had three offices in three states, maybe 8,000 people across those three offices. But they have hundreds of branch locations across the country. And so with virtual, we were able to offer services to 22,000 of their employees. Then another financial service subscribed 50,000 of their employees. So suddenly our reach increased.
Right.
And so what was a weakness, which was a pivot, became a strength.
Yeah. And with these big sort of potentially existential shifts in the market, it rewrites the leaderboard a little bit. And so, like you said, when you're bringing live content and your closest, maybe bigger competitors are just, taking some stuff off the, dusting off the old Jane Fonda videos and pushing them out, it's a completely different experience, right? And so how did that reshape the leaderboard? And I guess a follow-up to that, which maybe not is exactly related, but curious too, is how much more have you injected mental health elements into the business offering? Because you mentioned that, and that was a huge piece of it.
Yeah.
And, it had to be a piece of the content where you just knew you were keeping people sane. You know, so has that had any sort of lingering effects on your product mix?
Absolutely. Anecdotally, and the data proves it out, that the recovery, the yoga, the desk stretching, those kind of things that are about alleviating stress-induced effects on the body were some of the most popular things we did. And, and our members would just tell us it's as a result of, I live all my life on this kitchen table, right? I'm doing my work here. My kids are next to me, all that stuff just created a whole different set of strains. And then that story shifted to hybrid work, right? When we were all out of the office, it was one thing. And then it became hybrid work. And then it became, how do you integrate with people who are in the office maybe 1 week a month and then out of the office three or a couple days a week in the office? So since we were creating our own content, we were able to create content that matches that environment. So somebody who maybe comes in the gym when they're in the office can have a prescription to work out differently when they're away from the office or traveling. So just iteration to meet the needs of our clients. But the whole hybrid work impact turned COVID into a 4-year event for our company, and maybe even an ongoing event for the company. And so we continued to have to iterate. We continued to have to be nimble, watch the data and change. And that all really made a difference.
A couple other pieces to that. One of the things we recognized too during the period of developing all the online content was the importance that our clients put in their online security. Mm. So we made investments in making sure that all of our virtual products met their security needs. Mm. And that was a big investment, but that was a big differentiator because most of our competitors did not have the, the certifications and things that we invested in. So that was a really important decision.
And so we grew in financial services. We grew in software companies. We became GDPR compliant for European availability. So that, again, our clients are that top, 50, 100, international brand names.
Right.
And so when we had a couple of German software companies, well-known, I'm sorry, I can't mention client names, but two different German software companies, well-known, come to us for their U.S. operations, we knew we had a product that had some quality to it. And, incubated away from our people who were a couple months earlier fitness folks. Mm-hmm. And they figured it out.
Suddenly technology experts, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this GDPR is no joke. So just the fact that you're there and you're already eliminated half your competition, I would assume, just by being there with them.
And there were always pure play internet companies that could raise more money, that could be in the .com business. We stayed very, very clearly in the employee amenity, employee benefit space.
So now you have this, this thing that's all consuming, all the pivoting, a lot of energy, a lot of responsibility, and now you are released from it. So what is your, are we firing up the RV and just heading towards the sunset, or are we, what's the emotional status right now? And what are we looking at in the next year or two?
We're not ready to consider ourselves retired. I'm not ready for that. Beth has been even while doing corporate fitness work, she was a full-time volunteer and serving on a couple different boards. And so we will both do that. But, after a period of rest, maybe another investment will find us. I think having done this, I know where strengths lay and have definitely a thesis for the type of opportunity we might look for. But this has been incredibly fun, and maybe something else will find us. If not, we now have the luxury to think about what we're going to do. But we now find ourselves business empty nesters and child empty nesters.
Exactly.
That's a dangerous combination. We'll see.
It is a dangerous combination, and there isn't enough online shopping in the world.
not enough retail therapy to.
No, there's not.
Well, I will certainly look forward to your next project. Hopefully, it's another local company, because you have been, local stalwarts of driving business here in the area, which is very important. So that's much appreciated. And congratulations again.
Thank you.
So it's a great 6 years, and
I want to thank you, Joe, and your online products, Catalyst, because you've been with us telling the story in St. Pete all along. So I thank you for that.
Yeah, it seems just like yesterday we were sitting with you talking about buying the company.
I went just to see what photos we had of in our archive for the other story we did on this, and it was literally you two when you bought the place, and our story about you. And we're about as old as you are with CDW, so I think you were literally one of our first stories, and so it's good to be on the ride.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, onwards and upwards. Thank you, Michael and Beth Bivio.